decision. We don't have a quorum right now, so we'll just go right into our testifying for our next bill. And Representative Howe, House File 2554, regarding military member, clarifying for admitting added to offensive impersonation. I will bring House File 2554 before the committee and move that it's referred to the Committee on Public Safety and Crime Prevention Policy and Finance. Representative Howell, your bill.
And thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I think if you remember, this bill was actually an amendment to the public safety omnibus bill last year, and it hasn't changed a bit. It's still, we're looking to try and expand the impersonation definition so we encompass more of it. Actually, all we did was put it in the form of the bill and bring it back. The concern is still out there. We've got, and I guess my main concern is not so much the impersonation that we had last year in Wilmer that brought this to light, but it also brings to light that currently, we don't have anything. If we have a state active duty mission where we have National Guard members out there patrolling the streets and keeping us safe during a natural disaster, there is nothing that prevents someone from dressing up like a soldier or an airman and impersonating a service member, no matter at what rank. And I think that's a very important piece that we need to close that loop. So I ask for your support. If members would like to hear testimonies from folks, I do have Mr. Kerr from the. If you think we need to do that.
Before we do that, Representative Howe, would Representative Fisher, will you approve the minutes?
Yes, I'd like to move the minutes, Chair.
Representative Fisher approves the minutes from March 21. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. And Representative Howe, why don't you go ahead and bring Mr. Kerr up and say a few words.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. And Representative Howe, I think, expressed very clearly what our concern is with this. We're very concerned that during a state active duty event, it would be very easy for someone or some group to set up a checkpoint somewhere and impersonate members of the National Guard out on a state active duty, either providing some sort of security or other necessary duty in the event of an emergency. And we think this change to the statute clarifies who could be prosecuted for such a crime and will make it easier for prosecutors to take those things up. And we support the bill 100%.
Thank you. Representative Howe, how often do these impersonations take place?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't think because we haven't had any prosecutions because we haven't been able to. I don't think we know that number out there. So I think it's important to get something on the books so we can at least make sure that it doesn't happen. I mean, we've had a lot of issues. I think we've had a few out there. I think the one in Wilmer really came to light last year as the news coverage of that made a good example of that. But I do believe that it happens more often than we realize.
And Representative Howe, is the law currently just limited to impersonating military officers?
Actually, no, Mr. Chair. It actually has police officers and military officers. Okay. It does not go down to veterans. It does not go down to enlisted personnel.
Okay.
And I think it needs to, as Mr. Kerr has expressed, we do need to encompass those folks, especially in the state active duty missions.
Are there any questions from the audience on this bill? And Representative Hancock, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. When it comes to impersonating a veteran, do we have in law what constitutes impersonation? In other words, does wearing a military cap falsely?
Well,
an officer or one in uniform, I can certainly understand. But a veteran, what constitutes an impersonation?
Representative Howe?
Mr. Chair, and I think if you look at the bill, it says, "With the intent to mislead another into believing that the impersonator is actually such officer." And that's current language and current law, and we're not changing that piece.
Any other questions from the committee?
I renew my motion then that House File 2554 be referred to the Committee of Public Safety and Crime Prevention, Policy and Finance. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And we might as well keep you in the hot seat, Reverend Howe. You have the next committee, or the next bill, House File 3416. I'll bring it to the House File 3416 before the committee and move it that it be referred to the Committee of Government Operations, Election Policies. Reverend Howe, on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And committee members, you may remember this bill. It's been before this committee and the State Government Finance Committee numerous times now. We did pass a bill last year, but in conference committee, it received some challenges. So we're back again trying to make some corrections. I will say that the bill in front of you right now does not have peace in the valley. I'm not prepared at this time to offer any amendments. We have been working through the interim trying to get peace in the valley. I would say we're somewhere in the 80-90% range to trying to get there. I would just ask for your support to move it through this process, and we will continue to work on it to try and get to resolution on this before it makes its final stop.
Representative Howe, and I know we have some testimony here, and I know they just want to come to your side and really support you on this bill and work through work through some of the difficulties that we've had in the bill. I know, and I know you've been working hard on this, and also the other people that have an interest in this. So I'd like to call Mr. Hilgart up. We see that they shake hands right off the bat. And
Mr. Chair, this has been a true labor here that we understand our differences and are truly trying to bring resolution.
And Mr. Hergott, will you introduce yourself?
Yes.
For the record.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Matt Hilgart. I work with the Association of Minnesota Counties, and I would echo Representative Howe's sentiment. We became quite good friends over this, haven't we? Over the course of the last session and interim, we've put in a lot of hours into this and mulling over the ideas and the philosophies behind this and the intent to hire and retain veterans. And so I'll start by just saying this is obviously a very tough and emotional issue. This has been before your committee at various points throughout the last decade. There have been some changes in more recent years to the Veterans Preference Law, and there's been some confusion that's in the law in current, too. It's emotional for the employer. It's emotional for the coworkers who might not have that vacancy filled or, you know what's going on. It's emotional especially for the veteran, and it's especially emotional for the veteran's families or significant others.
And it's emotional for the chair, too. So.
Yes. And this committee, I'm assuming, too. You've heard testimony before from both sides of this aisle, so we totally, and I won't go through that again, but I'll just stop at that. There are some core questions that we would have with the current form the bill, and we know that Representative Howe said out of the gate that we're working on this, we're collaborating on this, we continue to collaborate. I was just in Representative Howe's office right before this hearing, and we're still throwing out ideas. So I think there is a sincere attempt by all parties, by all local governments, and Representative Howe to find some kind of solution, an all-encompassing solution that really gets to the core of lingering issues and hopefully solves the problem for years to come, so that we're not coming back to this committee time and time again tweaking it here or tweaking it there. The last core questions that I'll leave you with, and they are core questions and they're emotional questions, are three of them. The first one, equality among workers. What are we saying to our workers, our county workers, our city workers, when one subgroup is treated differently or has different parameters around the hiring and termination proceedings than another subgroup? The second is the cost to the taxpayer. I know that the cities have testified in years past that some of these cases, because there are no limitations on a three-person panel, costs or time durations, that they can get into the tens of thousands of dollars, and there's been occasional cases which have capped that $100,000 amount. That's paid by counties or the county taxpayer. So that's the second question. The third one, and I think this is the more important one that people have been reluctant to bring up, but I think it begs some weighing into. And I think that's the question of, is it incentive or disincentive for the main goal of this committee, and I assume Representative Howe and counties as well, which is to hire more veterans and retain more veterans. And I think that question has respectfully maybe different opinions on both sides. I don't think that keeps us from coming to a conclusion. But at the end, those are the three questions that I think this committee should weigh, and I hope that we'll continue to weigh them as Representative Howe and I continue our discussions with, along with the League of Minnesota Cities and Minnesota Inter-County Association. So with that, I'd just like to end, Mr. Chair, if I may, just by, again, showing my appreciation for Representative Howe. He's put in tens of hours of talking with me and coming to AMC, coming to our annual events, me coming into his office, and I appreciate that time, and I appreciate his input and expertise and personal stake in this matter, because it is emotional. It's tough. So,
and Mr. Hilgard, I think we can all agree here that we want to provide an environment where businesses or the counties or state, they want to hire veterans. That's the crutch right there, that we want to make sure we get something put together that allows veterans to for those opportunity for employment. So, Representative Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you know, there are folks out there that don't fit well in some of these cases and do need to be terminated. But keep in mind that being said, we owe these veterans a great deal. Because without these folks, we probably wouldn't be speaking the same language that we currently speak and wouldn't have the opportunities that we have. So as well as you know, I'm sensitive to the fact that it's costly, but it is on the other side of the fence, the employer that has the options to them, and when it comes to this effect, that there are many options on the table on how to terminate an employee. And I would be remiss to say I would love to see the data that says how many of these employees have been gone through this process, and we don't have that data. So I will say that I'm truly trying to find a solution and bringing this thing to a close, because I would like to move on to other issues that are also that I'm passionate about. But this one happens to have consumed me for the past 4 years.
Well, thank you. Are there any other questions from the committee or from the audience? And with that, I'll give you both an order to from a retired warrant officer to get together and get this resolved. And with that, I renew my motion that House File 3416 be re-referred to the Committee of Government Operations, Elections, and Policy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You bet.
Government operations, right? I get to hear it again.
I apologize. We had some other people on the agenda to testify. I think I better retract here and bring those people up. Laura Quincher, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'll be quick.
Please introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Laura Kushner. I work for the League of Minnesota Cities, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify, and I will be quick.
And Keith Carlson is on deck.
We are, like counties, we're very interested in improving the Veterans Preference Act for both veterans and the employers. We do have some concerns with this bill. We're also very motivated to work with the bill's author. But a couple things I want to point out very quickly is that civil service commissions are a long-standing method of dealing with veterans' preference. They're efficient, they're cost-effective, they're timely. The commissioners become very well-trained in employment issues, so they're experienced. It's a very good way to handle veterans' preference hearings. So we do have some concerns about making that at the choice of the veteran. And the other thing I will say is we definitely have some current concerns around the city or the county having to pay attorney's fees. As you all know, I'm sure that can be a lot of money for even for one hearing. If there are no limitations on what the city has to pay for an attorney's fees, and also the change that makes it any change in the level of discipline, we're very concerned about that. So we'd sure like to see limitations on, if this bill moves forward, we'd sure like to see limitations on how much attorney's fees we're talking here. And we also would like to see equity with the state. The state has probationary periods for veterans, cities and counties do not, and that seems unfair to us. So we just wanted to go on record with those concerns and appreciate the opportunity to testify.
And Mrs. Quincher, again, you're going to be working with Representative Howe and working these details out, I'm assuming.
We are absolutely going to try.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Carlson. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Keith Carlson. I'm Executive Director of the Minnesota Intercounty Association that consists of five of the suburban counties and the regional center counties in greater Minnesota. And I want to echo the earlier testimony that we are also committed to working with Representative Howe to come up with a reasonable solution to what we feel right now is really a disincentive to hire veterans, particularly with regards to those employees who have no experience and normally would be going through a probationary period, which under the state law would not be subject to this hearing requirement and the expenses associated with it. So we again are committed to working on this bill. We are definitely committed to the current veterans preference laws with the additional points that are assigned to these individuals when they go through our civil service exams, as well as the additional payment that we give to those individuals who are in the National Guard for their two-week training period to make up the difference between their pay. But we have substantial problems with the current law as well as the bill, and hope to rectify those concerns in subsequent negotiations with Representative Howe.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you. Representative Cornish. Welcome to our committee, and I will bring your House File 3394 before the committee and move it as that it will be referred to the Committee of State Government Finance. Representative Cornish, your bill.
Well, thank you, Chair and members. I'm sorry, I think this is my first appearance here. I should have brought treats, but I'll remember next time. Mr. Chair and members, House File 3394 basically is a bill that will save some veterans some money, we think. It's a rough description would be if a veteran comes in, somebody advertises to do service for veterans and take up a service for them or advocate for them, and a veteran goes in there for that service only to find out later that service was offered free by a veteran service organization. So what this bill would do would require this organization that the veteran goes to give him or her, the veteran, a disclosure saying, I can do this, but you can get this service done for free at your veteran service organization. So I've got a couple of testifiers here for me to help me, veteran service officers from a couple of different areas in the state, and I'd like to introduce them, and they will tell you some of the background of the law, and then how a couple of stories and how some veterans have been taken advantage of by this procedure.
Welcome. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Milton Schoen, and I'm the Hennepin County Veteran Service Officer. I'm also the legislative chair for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, we have had instances, and we had one in our office within the last 6 weeks, where somebody had paid for help with a claim, and then they came to our office, and we did the initiated the claims work for this VA claim, but we had to tell them, frankly, we couldn't get them their money back. And in Minnesota, the legislature has seen fit to have the county veteran service officer system, and I think we've got a very good one in this state. We know how to get benefits for people, and it's available in every county of the state. Plus, we've got national service officers that do this work. And we think that by having this disclosure, as Representative Cornish has put in the bill, that it will make people aware that they don't have to pay for a service, and we don't think that should happen just because they the lack of knowledge of the individual who has never may have never applied for benefits with the VA previously.
We have another testifier. Welcome. Please state your name for the record.
My name is David Hanson. I'm a CVSO with Faribault County. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to tell you a personal story. We've had several cases where we've had veterans come back and let us, you know, would tell us that, you know, I was unsuccessful with the VA, I've got a denial, and we've paid money to others to do the work, whether it was a company or someone that offered assistance as an advocate for veterans for pay. And it's been upward from, you know, from $750 up to $12,000. And the disappointing part about it is, you know, they don't get what they were promised. And a lot of times with us as county veteran service officers, we're trained. We have to go through accreditation through all the different service organizations. We have a national service organization that we go through. And a lot of these people don't have the training that we do as service officers. It is a free service. Sometimes we do, as an association, have an identity crisis. We're trying to get our name out there and do a lot more outreach for our veterans so they know we do exist. But there are people that do prey on our veterans.
Representative Cornish, looking at your bill, what's the penalty? Let's see, if this passes, it becomes law. What is the penalty if there's a business out there that's charging a veterans for a service, and where it could be, and they fail to indicate that it's be a free service through the county service officers?
Mr. Chair, members, I think on page 3 in subdivision 4, it talks about violations and penalties. The person who fails to comply with this section is subject to civil penalty not to exceed $1,000 for each violation. It goes on to explain it, and maybe its course eventually will take this to the Civil Law Committee, too. I don't know if it's because it's a civil penalty there instead of criminal, if it'll go that way.
So currently it's not over $1,000.
Right.
For each violation.
Mm-hmm. This was brought to me on Veterans Day on the Hill by a former chair of the Blue Earth County Commissioners Board and in the VFW down in Mankato, Tom
McLaughlin.
I'll get that name wrong. And his son and several other veterans brought this to me and said that nobody had authored it yet, so then I authored it and had it brought. And I think Senator Anderson is going to carry it in the Senate. So it does have a companion.
Another question to the testifier. Could you give us an example of something like this happens to a veteran? A case example?
You want a specific example?
Right.
We had a World War II veteran, atomic war veteran, that was seeking compensation for his exposure to radiation in Japan after the bomb drop in Hiroshima. And he was exposed to radiation. Of course, he had applied. He didn't have the presumptive conditions, and he had gone through, and he found a person that was willing to offer services for money. And with that money, there was no guarantees. But he was desperate in wanting to, you know, get his claim through. They were very convincing that they would, you know, they could get, you know, his claim through, which they did not. And it's a shame of it that in cases where many people, many veterans would, you know, they think that because they're paying for a service, they're probably getting a, you know, they're going to get something in return or have a better shot at getting a VA compensation award because of the fact that they paid something. With the county veteran service officers, again, we're free, we're trained, and we do have, you know, the knowledge and training to do what we need to do.
Are there any questions? Excuse me. Are there any questions from the public? Any questions from the committee? Well, I'll renew my motion that House File 3394 be referred to the Committee of State Government Finance. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Treats next time, Tony.
House File 3252, Representative Newberger. Representative Newberger, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate your time before the committee here. This is my first time as well. I did bring treats. I have a half a roll of Lifesavers here. If you want to pass them around, they're all for you.
Representative Newberger, you have an amendment?
I do. Mr. Chair, I do have a DE amendment that would delete everything after the enacting clause. I would like to first move the amendment to get the bill in the shape that I would like. I think I would need one of you to move that.
Yes. Representative Newberger, I will bring House File 3252 before the committee and move it as being referred to the Committee on Commerce and Regulatory Reform and as amended. So, and I need to move the amendment. All in favor of the amendment? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. And to your bill. As amended.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and members. What this bill does is it starts to take some steps in the right direction towards helping veterans, especially those that have suffered with post-traumatic stress syndrome. As you know, combat can have that effect on men and women returning, and oftentimes the transition period from going from war to civilian life, it takes time. And there are struggles that are involved to get back on your feet, both physically, mentally, and financially, spiritually, all of those ways. One of the cases that we ran into in this regard has to deal with real estate. We have some veterans here. I have brought one testifier here, that Mr. Kukowski, who will testify shortly to give you his testimony. He's just one of a few that I'm aware of. But we've had these people that were in the real estate industry, either as salespeople or as real estate brokers. They're able to put their license on what's called ICE. They're able to suspend their license while they're gone for up to 2-year period. When they get back, there's basically a 6-month period before they have to get things moving again. Roughly after that 6-month period, you have to start the process over. Mr. Kukowski here came back from combat, from active duty, and it took him a while to get back on his feet. It took more than 6 months. Currently at this time, he's been in the real estate industry. That's what he's done. That's what he does for a living as a professional. He was allowed by the Commerce Department to retake the sales exam for real estate sales, but he was not allowed to take the brokerage exam. There have been a number of complications that have gone. I've been back and forth with the Commerce Department on this. to the point now where he is looking at about a $35,000 judgment against him from the Commerce Department because he didn't fit into these time criteria. What I'm trying to do here, members and Mr. Chair, is to take a look at the effect of post-traumatic stress and to grant our veterans, as they come back from serving our country, a grace period to say, I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg, I hope. The real estate industry, if this is where it starts, great. I think that we can come back next year and in the prevailing years to take even a closer look at this to say, and when it comes to licensing requirements, to helping all veterans, because it takes a while, you know, to get your life back in order. The initial bill was a good bill, and what it did is it basically granted a waiver to allow veterans to basically pick up the ball and keep running and without any real strings attached. As we have gone through, this bill is working its way through the Senate. It's got very popular support, as it should. But one of the questions that came up was a very pertinent one. It came up, the question was, if someone has been gone for a period of time, then they come back into the real estate brokerage or the real estate sales industry, and you're not completely up to speed, you could be putting that veteran and the people that they serve, their customers, at a disadvantage. We don't want people that are not ready to do the job in the job. That wouldn't be fair to anyone. So what the new amendment that we passed basically says is this: it's no longer a blanket waiver anymore. What this does is this allows a grace period, to extend the grace period, but it also allows for the veterans to sit down and retake the exams at no cost. And they can retake these exams until they pass them. That way the veteran, as they go through the process, by retaking that exam, they will know that they're ready to do the job. The consumers are protected as well. And plus, you won't have a veteran doing the job that could later possibly face litigation because they didn't do it right. So what we're doing here is we worked with the Commerce Department. They were the ones that helped us out with this, and this is where we're moving forward with this. This will be heard again tomorrow. This DE amendment, or this amendment will be heard tomorrow in the Senate, and we anticipate it will move forward. With that, I would like to introduce Barry Kakowski, a very good friend of mine. He's a hero amongst us, and he has would like to share his experience.
Yeah, Mr. Kakowski, would you introduce yourself for the record? And again, thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Committee members, thank you for taking time to hear this bill. My name is Barry Kukowski, and I've lived in the same house for 10 years in Clearwater for probably 20 years. I've worked in the same career path of real estate before and after, and I've been doing it since 1993. I've served in the United States Army and the Minnesota Army National Guard for the past 23 years, and I'm actually retired this month.
So congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that. It's been an honor. It's also included one combat tour in Iraq in 2007-2008. And yes, one tour is enough. That's interesting enough, so appreciate that. Soldiers have gone through an awful lot. I answered the call of my country and went off to war. I came back with some PTSD and a 30% VA disability rating, which I did see my CVSO, and I did get free assistance in that. So that was a real nice thing, real blessing. I did not have those things when I left, but I did get those things when I returned. The disability and the PTSD. So I was honorably discharged, and I even received an Army Achievement Award for combat duties while serving in Iraq. Upon my departure from Iraq, I placed my real estate license on ice or on hold, as was stated, and I fully expected to pick it back up when I returned back to civilian life. When I came back and I wanted to pick it up, the Department of Commerce said no, I did not meet the six-month window to apply to reinstate my license. I would have to start all over again and plus wait the 3 more years as an agent until I could become a broker. And I was a broker back in 1993, and I served as a broker for 10 years, I think it was. And so it was quite a surprise to me. Felt a little bit disenchanted by that. Took time to meet with the Department of Commerce, try to straighten it out, met with my state representative trying to straighten it out, but not to any avail. Couple of comments here is my country called me to fight in a war on a foreign soil, and I went. That was my duty. Now it's my goal is to have that which was taken away from me when I left by the state of Minnesota returned back to me as if I never left with no other conditions, and that's their duty. And that's what I was looking for, and that's what I wanted. George Washington has a quote here, "The willingness with which our young people are likely to serve in any war, no matter how justified, shall be directly proportional to how they perceive veterans of earlier wars, which are how we're treated and appreciated by our nation." George Washington. So it's very important to go back to the life we had. It took me a couple of years to actually get reacclimated. I almost lost my house. I did lose my farm and some other things. And once you get back in, you're trying to get back to your life again. It was difficult. My friend said that I changed. I did not believe that I changed, so it was interesting to deal with that. But I did want to get back to what I was doing, and so I've been working at getting my license back again, getting back into real estate, but I would like to get my broker's license back again. So please pass this bill and help support combat veterans that are working in the real estate industry at this time. So thank you. Any questions?
Fantastic.
Thank you. You know, just a comment here, you know, you had to put your license on ice, but you also put your civilian life on ice too. Mm-hmm. And I know I was mobilized for 20 months after right after 9/11. And I think Representative Newberger, you brought a good bill before us. Mm-hmm. And I hope as it goes forward that, and the Senate too, that we can make a difference for a lot of these veterans that come back. Mm-hmm. Any comments from the audience? Any questions from the committee? Well, with that, I renew my motion that House File 3394 be re-referred as amended to the Committee of Commerce, Regulatory Reform. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you.
And there's not anything else that wants to come before the committee. This, we're adjourned. I just want to make one announcement. Today, which is April 29th, can anybody tell me what's important
Vietnam
about
Veterans.
This?
Yes.
Vietnam Veterans Day. And, this Sunday, at 2 o'clock at the Forest Lake American Legion, in fact, that legislation that passed the 29th of April as the Vietnam War Day came from Forest Lake, by the way, from a lady whose brother was a Vietnam War veteran. He committed suicide, and she came to the legislature, wanted to have something special for Vietnam War Day. So we did pass the legislation. So on Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Forest Lake American Legion, Commissioner Shelleto is going to be our guest speaker. So if you're in the area of Forest Lake, stop by the American Legion. So thanks for coming. Yes.
The Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Charity is presenting a $500 essay prize for the students in conjunction with that. Be presented by our president of Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Charity, Gary Kevlar.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good rest of the day.